during granny as well. I'm sorry for being pointing you all, but I don't know. I feel like the Lord wants us to bless you as a person and as a family as well. So are we okay if we stand up as a church and pray?
Yes.
Whoever can't stand up, it's fine, you can sit. We'll pray for Becky as well, pray for Doreen Granny. And we'll pray for the other 2 points as well. Now, even as we pray for Doreen Granny, can we stretch our hands towards her, please, as a church? And whoever can speak in tongues, just speak. Whoever can bless her, even if you can say, Lord Jesus, I bless her in your name. Father, we as a church bless Doreen Granny. We bless her family. We bless her health. We bless her house. We just declare as a church a breakthrough in the realm of your presence. Father, I thank you, Father, that to her, she is your princess, she is your daughter, she is your royal daughter, Father. And I thank you that she sees you as her king and as her father. And I declare the reality of her father walking with her father. The reality of the presence of the father, the presence of Jesus would break through, Father, upon her life. Even upon Harry uncle, I pray even over his life. Lord, I declare the footsteps of God, O Father, around their house, O Father, around the vineyard of their house, around the realm of the house, O Father. And we just declare, O Father, that their house has divine protection, Father. I declare the vicinity of the house has divine protection, Father. Lord, we declare that they do not need to fear anything, Father. But we declare the God of hosts is their God, is their protection, is their source. And I thank you for your presence that's coming upon her. I pray, Father, even over the season, Father, we just declare it's a season of breakthroughs over her life, over her children. And we declare that your presence would break forth in her life like never, ever before. In Jesus' mighty name, we just declare an unnatural breakthrough over her life. And we declare, O Father, the goodness of God in the land of the living will be her portion.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless her and her house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, can we stretch our hands towards Becky at that? Becky, is that your birthday?
No, Anand's birthday.
Oh, wow. My God, that's a very specific word. Okay. Father, we just declare over Becky at that. Can we pray as a family, please?
Yes.
Open your mouth and just say, we bless her. Lord, we just declare that she is your daughter. Lord, we just declare that you are the God of all comfort. And we just declare, can someone lay your hand upon her as well? Lord, we just declare that you are the God of all comfort. And Father, we just declare that you are the God of all beginnings. Father, we declare you are the God of all beginnings. Father, I thank you, Father, for the extension in her life. You might be questioning, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? What am I doing? But Becky, I feel like the Lord's having you here for a very specific purpose. And I feel like there is a ministry that God has ordained for you and God has set apart for you. There is a specific ministry that God has set apart for you. And your life has purpose for Him. Your life has meaning for Him. And your life has a purpose for many people around you. Your existence is not in vain. Your life is not in vain. Father, we declare the joy of the Lord is our portion. The joy of the Lord is our portion. We declare, O Father, even over her, an abundant grace over her life. And we thank you, Father. We just declare over the generations in the family, Father. We declare in this moment, every generation in her family. Church, please continue praying. Every generation in her family is dictated by the blood of Jesus Christ. I declare generations back, even to the 4 generations, the blood of Jesus dictates them, Father. And Lord, we just bless her future. We just declare, oh Father, fruitfulness over her life. An abundant fruitfulness over her life. We declare that her cup shall overflow. She might think that her cup is empty, but we declare, no, it is not. It is being filled. It is being filled and it will overflow. When we declare the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, I thank you that in this season, you are unveiling purpose. You are unveiling a new purpose. And I pray, Father, that the burden of the Lord, I pray that the burden of the Lord shall come upon her.
I pray that in the night the burden of the Lord shall come upon her. In the morning at 5 a.m. the burden of the Lord to come upon her. I pray in the evening the burden of the Lord to come upon her. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would awaken her up and stir her up, oh Father. And I thank you that she is not determined by her past. And we just declare that she is precious to you. And she's precious to us as a church. We bless her. We just declare that she's crowned with your splendor of your glory. And we just thank you for fruitfulness, abundant fruitfulness in her life. We bless you and we praise you for what you're about to do with her in her life in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And Father, we as a church, can we continue praying?
Yes.
Father, we as a church come against every premature death in the womb, every premature life in the name of Jesus. We just declare life and abundant life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we declare, we cancel the spirit of death. We cancel and we rebuke the spirit of life. We declare life and abundant life. Life that comes from the Spirit of God. Life that Jesus died for, to be released even over this place, even over your church, even over the realm in this place, oh Father. Life and life abundant, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Are you happy?
Yes.
Can we keep that same energy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I kind of wanted to continue on. I'm so sorry. I kind of wanted to continue on what we spoke about last month, but I felt like over the course of the past 2 days, the Lord was giving me, He was blowing up something in my spirit and sort of giving me something else to speak. Basically, the Lord changed my sermon for the week. How many of you are happy?
Yes.
You can say amen.
Amen.
How many of you can sense the Spirit of God?
Yes.
You can say amen for
amen.
That. Amen. If the Spirit of God is here, it means God is in the house.
Amen.
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 Amen. How many of you are awake?
Amen.
Those who are awake, say amen.
Amen.
Those who are asleep, say a bigger amen. Amen. Okay, can we go to Genesis 28, from verse 10 onwards. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
Is everyone there? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Can someone read from verse 10 onwards, please?
Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night.
Okay, someone say a certain place.
A certain place.
Okay, continue, auntie.
Because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep.
Say, awoke from his sleep.
Awoke from his sleep. And said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not
know. Can you say that again?
Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it.
Amen.
Amen.
And can you continue, Isanti? The next verse.
And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
Now, how many of your translations say that Jacob took the stones for his pillow? Can you raise your hands? Alright. So, this is the first place in the Bible that talks about the house of God. Amen? Yes? And I find it really, really, really funny that the first depiction of the house of God is a man's pillow. Amen? Are you there?
Yes.
In the natural, it's just a bunch of pillows and oil poured upon it. And then he calls it Bethel. There's no sound system. There's no worship team. There's no chairs. There's no air conditioner. There are just stones in the natural. And there's oil. And that's the place that the Bible says this is the house of God. Interesting, right?
Yes.
Say this, in the natural.
In the natural.
But in the spiritual. What is that? There's a ladder. How many of you know the ladder? Where do you set a ladder, basically? You set a ladder to the place you're about to climb, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But can we read verse 12? And can you tell me where the ladder is set upon?
Here.
You set upon the ladder to the destination you're normally going for. Amen?
Mm.
But it's interesting, you know, the ladder is set upon the earth. And the top of it is the heavens. And the next thing is, it's saying angels are ascending and descending. I don't know about you, but my thing is, why are the angels ascending? Aren't they supposed to descend first before they ascend? Right? It says the ladders and they're ascending and then they're descending. Logic dictates they should come from there. Right? So, a lot of interesting things over here in the spiritual. In the natural, it's just a man's pillow. And then he says, God, and God reminds him of his birthright and he reminds him of his assignments as well. Now, the whole concept of angels ascending and descending, when you understand the ministry of angels, when angels finish their task, what happens? They ascend. So it's interesting that Bethel was a place of angelic activity. Angels, so meaning multiple, doing the ministry, whatever that they were assigned. And they were finishing assignments and going up. And they were descending down to do new assignments that God had assigned for them. And there was a voice of God telling to Jacob, hey, I'm the guy who's the God of your fathers. And Jacob says something very remarkable in verse 16. He woke up from his sleep and he says, can you say that together? Surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Harvest in Church, I want to declare over you, you are not going through a drought. Amen.
Amen.
You are not in a rut. You are not in a spiritual rut. You are not in a physical rut. All you need to do is wake up. Amen. The worship team is laughing. I don't know what's that. And tell yourself, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Because in the natural, you might just be seeing a bunch of pillars on stones that you have laid down with your strength. But tell me, repeat this after me. But in the spiritual.
But in the spiritual.
But in the spiritual.
But in the spiritual.
There are angels assigned over my life working. And there is the voice of the Father leading back to my destiny, my inheritance, and my assignment.
Amen.
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 Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now, Jacob woke up from his sleep, this verse has so much of a prophetic nature, and when you meditate towards sleeping in the Bible, it's interesting what you can find. I often tend to wonder, what did he wake up from? Because that day onwards, when he woke up and when he realized, okay, this place is different. That encounter with God, of him realizing, I'm not alone, that I'm not helpless, and I don't have to run away from my inheritance or my family anymore. That day onwards, when he realized that the Lord is here, his life has changed. And oftentimes, in the spiritual, the Lord is working. And all that the Lord expects from us is very simple, is to be flexible to what he's doing. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes it's just literally not looking at the stones that we've laid on and waking up to literally what he's doing. Because I want to tell you, church, one of the specifics of God is he's a behind the scenes God. Amen?
Amen.
He's never not at work in your life. And I want to tell you, and I want to declare over you, God cares too much about the specifics in your life.
Amen.
Way too much. To a point that if there's something in your life that he's pulling away, or if there's something in your life that he's taking away, it's because he has something better in mind for you. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't mean that your destiny or that place that you thought of or building for yourself is gone. There's something far more glorious ahead of you.
Amen.
And all you need to say in this time of your life is say, surely the Lord is in my life and I knew it not. Amen?
Amen.
He is not asleep. Amen. And I want to encourage you, wake up to your perception of God. May your perception of who he is expand in this season.
Amen.
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 May you grow to know him much, much more, and your ability to perceive him in the spiritual will determine the breakthrough that's coming ahead of you. Let me repeat that. The ability of you to perceive him in the spiritual will determine the breakthrough that's coming ahead of you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now there's a man in the Bible called Nathaniel. How many of you know him? He's my second favorite disciple of Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 45. Can you go there? And I want one of you to read John chapter 1 from verse 45. Basically the calling of Nathaniel. And someone else to stay in Genesis 28, 12 to 13. Can someone read John now? John chapter 1 from verse 45.
Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
Okay, remember. Philip is telling Nathaniel, he's saying, I found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of who?
Joseph.
Okay, continue.
And Nathaniel said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Repeat, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Okay.
Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus
answered. Stop. It's interesting that Philip introduces Nathanael as Jesus, the son of Joseph. And now Nathanael is telling him, you're not son of Joseph, you're the son of God. Right? And just a quick thought, okay? Can you read just the next verse? Jesus answered and said to him.
Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than
Stop there. So, if Jesus could see Nathanael under the fig tree and can see his conversations before, I'm pretty sure Jesus saw Nathanael telling to Philip, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? Right? I'm pretty sure that was possible. And this is the first, after he asked this question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? His immediate encounter with Jesus is, you know, him revealing himself as the prophet of God and as the son of God. So, I feel like the next couple of verses are his answer to, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? And Jesus tells him, you will see greater things than these. And what does he say after that? Yeah.
And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Now, does that sound familiar? Verse 51.
Ascending.
Can someone read Genesis 28, 12 to 13?
Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold,
Stop. Thank you, Auntie.
Yeah.
So, do you see the parallel in both?
Yeah.
Heavens opened, angels ascending and descending. Can you see it?
Yes.
You can say amen. You
amen.
Can be excited.
Amen.
Amen. So, Nathanael is asking Philip, is there any good thing that can come from Nazareth? And here is Jesus revealing himself a higher reality of who he is. Okay? Mm-hmm. Tell this after me.
Jesus
is the ladder.
Is the ladder.
Amen. Angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He is the way to the Father. Amen.
Amen.
The previous verse, he says, thou shalt see greater things than these, and he's revealing himself as this. So, and I believe that this is the answer for, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? And this moment that Nathanael had, for me, it's like his Bethel moment, right?
Mm.
Where he woke up and he's like, surely this is God, and I knew not. And I thought this guy's from Nazareth. Mm. Amen?
Mm.
I want to declare over you guys, do not despise anything that comes from Nazareth.
Mm.
Anything that people are saying is bad or wrong or anything. Because God can use things that are generally forsaken. And I want to encourage, there are some of us over here, one of the ways that God works in our life is through people. Amen? Yes?
Yes.
And sometimes that can be uncomfortable. Yes?
Yes.
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 And I want to encourage, it's from Nazareth that leads to your Bethel moment. It's people that often leads to your divine connections. And that's often favor from God. Amen?
Amen.
That's something specific I felt like saying. Okay, now, Jesus is who? The Son of Man. He's the ladder. He's the way to the Father. In other words, John 1:51 basically says, Jesus is Bethel now. Amen? Are you getting it? He is Bethel coming upon man. He is Bethel coming upon us. It's God dwelling amongst us now. That's the reason why he's called Emmanuel. God with us. And to Nathaniel, a man who had no guile, I'm 100% sure he knew the scriptures. So when Jesus said this for him, his eyes woke up. And then he realized, this man is the house of God. Amen? Now, the whole theme of the house of God is one of the major themes of the Old Testament. That's very less spoken about. It's the major theme. It's say this after me. God loves to hang out with his people. God loves to dwell with us. And in fact, the first incidence of God in the Bible is him walking in the presence of his creation. He loves to be a part of us. And so much more, the ministry of Jesus is so unique that he's revealing himself to a Jew as here. The reality of Bethel is me. It's through me that the ministry of angels are invoked. It's through me that you get access to the voice of the Father. It's through me that Israel's destination comes. And then he calls him King of Israel. It's so unique when you study that. Now, when we study the house of God, okay, what is the house of God? What does the house of God look like? What should it look like? Anyone? Very simple question. If it's my house, I'm going to stay there. If it's God's house, who's going to be there?
God.
Simple. It's the place where he dwells in. So how do you measure a house of God? Are you here?
Yes.
How do you measure a place? If this place is the house of God, how can we measure it?
By his presence.
By his presence. Simply. If his presence is here, it's his house.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yep.
If his presence is not here, what is it? It's just a normal thing. And I want to encourage you, church. The whole reality of Jesus revealing himself as Bethel to Nathaniel is a reality to all of us. Say this after me. Jesus is my Bethel. He is the house of God in my life. And he so wants to be part of our houses. And when we have the presence of God, life is so simple. What can take months is done in days. And there is unnatural favor and divine endowment and supernatural ability that comes from his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Now, okay. So, how do we measure the house of God is by his presence? Now, how do we measure a Christian? The next question. True, we have to ask ourselves these questions. How? How do we measure a Christian? I mean, I do not believe that Christianity is a religion. I hate the fact that when people talk about faith, they compare faith to religion. But our definition of faith is so different. Right? how do we measure ourselves as Christians? Is by whether the fact the presence of God walks with us. Right?
Yeah.
Is by the fact that we walk in covenant with God. To the reality of His presence. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we measure ourselves as Christians. It's not even our Bible knowledge. It's not even what we can accumulate through books. None of it. I know people who've had the presence of God and who've been supernaturally taught English and the entire Bible. It's crazy. I know of a man who fasted for a year. The guy doesn't know a word of English, but in that season, supernaturally he learned English and he learned the entire Bible. And he learned the Bible in English. I know God does that. Repeat this after me, church. May we wake up and say, surely the Lord is upon us. Amen. Even if you don't know it, I pray that you would know it now. Because what defines you as a Christian is His presence. And unfortunately, in Christianity, there's too much jargon. We have so many terms for different things, but we're saying the same thing. Alright? I can go on talking about walking in the Spirit. There can be another person saying, in Christ. There can be another person saying, being filled in the Spirit. But in reality, all of this simplified is His presence.
Yeah.
In simple terms. Can someone read 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9? If you're there, say I'm there.
For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed in Him.
Okay, stop. Can someone read a different translation? Easier one. You have NIV, NT? Okay.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro.
To and fro.
Throughout the whole earth.
Toward the whole earth. To what?
To show Himself strong.
To show Himself strong.
On behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him.
Amen. It shows that it says that the eyes of God roams to and fro, literally looking for someone He can prove Himself to. How does God want to prove Himself? As a strong support to those whose hearts are loyal to Him. The Tree of Life version says, those whose hearts are in covenant with Him, in marriage relationship with Him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I feel like, church, this season the Lord is calling us to a greater perception of who He is.
Yeah.
And all of that is not in the natural. Amen.
Yeah.
Is in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Now the whole theme of are you there?
Yes.
Learning something?
Yes.
Now the whole theme of the habitation or the dwelling place of God is such an important thing to God. It is very, very important to Him. To a point that the first person in the Bible who was filled with the Spirit of God is not a prophet, is not Moses, is not Abraham, it's not Isaac, it's not Jacob. The first person that the Bible says was filled with the Spirit of God was an architect. Amen. Can someone read? It's crazy because that's how God sees it. Can someone read Exodus 31 verses 2? 2 to 3.
See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God with wisdom.
Say this. I have filled him.
I have filled him.
With the Spirit of God.
In wisdom.
In understanding.
In
knowledge.
And
in all manner of workmanship. Say this after me. The Spirit of God is even there to help me in workmanship. If there is in workmanship, how much more can He help you in cooking? I'm serious. How much more could He help us in our divine assignments in our job? How much more could He help you in your teaching? How much more could He help you in your college? Right? The funniest thing is we put the Spirit of God into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right? But there's so much more. I pray that your perception of Him and His ability to use you in divine assignments will increase in this season.
Amen.
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 Even if you want to be a pilot, you need the Spirit of God. Right, Joe? You can say amen for that. No, I'm serious, because when I was brought up in, you know, church life, there was a lot of rubbish I was taught. And one of the things that I had to unlearn was this theme. I mean, please don't get offended. People always taught me, you know, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And that's a very small perception that you can have of Him. I've seen moments in life where He's not exactly a gentleman. Where He ends up saying, I am God. And He proves Himself strong. Whether it comes to deliverances or healing or drastic changes in people. Amen?
Amen.
And what's determined God moving in my life is when my perception of Him was like, okay, that's not who you are. You be whatever you want to be. I'm not going to put you in a box.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put you saying, I can only do this. I'm comfortable with this. Second you say that to God, boy, you're in trouble. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'll share a small story. I'm kind of going a little bit off script to kind of give you how adventures of the Spirit of God are. There was a season in Chennai where there was a revival breaking out, where people were laughing like mad. I don't know if you've heard of it. They call it the joy of the Lord. And the entire service would go like people laughing like crazy. Has anyone heard of it? People used to call it the joy anointing and all that. I just call that crazy. Okay? Because I went to one of the services and I immediately walked out. I was like, no, not my scene. And I remember that night, I had to take a Bible study the next day for about 21, about 30 people. And I remember the Lord that night asking me, will you do anything for me? And I'm like, huh? And I remember the Lord asking me, are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of what my spirit does? And I was like, no. And I remember the Lord is telling me, who are you to dictate what I do? And then I said, Lord, okay, show me in the Bible where this is. And He showed me. I read terms and terms and terms of people in the Bible where it said they rejoiced in the Spirit. Mary rejoiced in the Spirit. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And I realized, oh, so your spirit being can have emotions. And my perception of God grew. Unfortunately, I go to the Bible study and I spend 2 hours beforehand praying in tongues, and the Lord said, I'm going to do something different. And I said, okay. So I just went for it. The person having the center that was working there, I told him, today Bible study is going to be different. It's better you come. And he takes my word for it. Thankfully, he's a leader who listens to me and gives me freedom to minister. Thank God for people like that. I go to take, you know, I'm all like, you know, in formals and like all fancy going there and all that, and oblivious to what's happening. And we start worship, the Spirit of God works powerfully, and something hit me. And I couldn't stop laughing. And then the person who took the Bible study said, "Dey, ni poda, ni malapo." And for the next 4 hours, I was laughing. To a point that I couldn't stand, I got on my knees, fell on the floor, was laughing. The powerful Spirit of God was upon me. The second I woke up, I was a new man. And I came down, some of the people was there, and I told the person, I said, "Can I pray for people now? I want to see what's new." And the second I laid hands on people, they fell down in the power of God. And then he said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm enjoying what's happening." And I said to myself, I am not going to despise what the Spirit of God is doing.
Amen.
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 I'm not going to dictate him or put him in a box. How many of you know knowledge in the Bible? When the Bible talks about knowledge, it's all about knowledge through experience. It's not the Greek knowledge of learning. And I want to declare over you, church, there are so many stories I can tell you God made me look like a fool, and I'm happy for it. That's a price I'm willing to pay for him. I'd rather be a fool before people rather than be a fool before God. Amen? I don't know what the price God's asking you, but I want to tell you, don't put him in a box. Grow in your perception of him. Because he is at work behind the scenes in your life. And all he's waiting for you is to just wake up and say, "God, you're here." Amen?
Amen.
Now, coming back to Bezalel, the first man in the Bible who was anointed with the Spirit of God. And Uncle also thought about this before, but if you read Exodus 35-39, it's very interesting. You can read it when you go home. It's God playing the role of an architect and an interior designer. And he is choosy with what he wants. Say this after me. God is very choosy with how he wants his house to be. The curtains will be a specific color. The wood has to be a specific wood. Everything is too specific for him. He will not let his house be vague. Even the little things like utensils had to be designed in a very specific way. I wonder what would happen if God goes to IKEA. No, seriously, because when you read this, it shows the nature of the heart of God. How he wants his house to be. My thought is, if his house is so built so specifically, how specific must he be in building our lives as Bethel?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Don't hold on to your old curtains when God wants to give you fresh linen. Amen?
Amen.
He is very intricate with what he does. And trust me, God is very intricate even with something as little as your jobs. He is very choosy with what he gives for his children. And everything he gives is for us to grow in our perception of who he is. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to declare over you again, what you're going through is not permanent. Repeat this after me. what I am going through
is not permanent.
God is bringing fresh linen. Because He is meticulous.
Amen.
He has the best for His children.
Amen.
If it was to build His temple 2000 years back, and we are the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, according to Ephesians 2, the last verse, verse 21, how much more is He specific in building our lives?
Amen.
If you have people leaving your life, you have the best people coming into your life.
Amen.
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 If you have something moving away, God's just making room for what He has in store. He is specific and an interior designing in the interior walls of your heart. He's going to pick places to expand your heart, your capacity to love Him. Amen?
Amen.
I want to encourage you, you know, when you pray, ask the Lord, Lord, teach me patience. Lord, teach me to love people. But He does that because in loving people, we can only love people with the love of God. And often He brings annoying specimens in your life. She knows why I'm saying that. For you to be trained to grow in the love of God, so you can love them with the love of God. The church said amen.
Amen.
Now all of this, all of God intricately working in His house, and God intricately working in our lives for us to wake up and grow in our perception of Him. Why is all of that for? In Exodus, can someone quickly go to Exodus 40, 34? Yeah. Exodus 40, verse 34.
Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Say this after me. The cloud filled the tent. Okay, can you repeat that? You're trying to be different. It's better.
Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
The reason why He's expanding our lives and us being His dwelling place is so that His glory would dwell in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
How many of you want to grow in spiritual things? The only way you can do that is through the presence of God.
Yes.
Only when you are conscious of the present nature of God in the atmosphere where I am, will you understand the indwelling person of the Spirit? They communicate easily. Amen?
Amen.
That's something that took me years to learn. The second I learned, I practiced and practiced and practiced. Amen?
Amen.
And when you grow in the presence of God, everything comes. Growing in the presence of God is growing in present Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Literally, the presence of God is Jesus being present in our midst. And when Jesus is present, the assignment of angels are released. You don't even have to go study about angels. None of that matters when the presence of God is there. Amen? Okay. While I was praying, I just wrote this. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Many of us have assignments given from God that we're sleeping on. But when we wake up in the reality of His presence, we learn to get discontented with the way things are. We have to get provoked and stir up a holy dissatisfaction that propels us to hunger for the things of God. That is when we understand the language of our heart to understand its true desire. We will, like Jacob, wake up and know a God who is present all along and be aligned with our divine assignments and the birthright which He has for us. Because we are now empowered by the one we've woken up to. Now, I'll give you a simple example of, you know, being discontent. The best story, I'll finish in the next 5 minutes. The best story that I can think of is, we had a youth camp years ago, okay? I was part of the core team, and it was a discipleship camp. How many of you know how discipleship camps go? It's very simple. It's not like evangelistic camps. You teach doctrines in the Bible. You teach about the Holy Spirit. And everyone works in one accord. Now, in that camp, there was a girl who couldn't stay 2 hours without taking 7 tablets. She had to take it in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. If she doesn't, she faints. She gets into a stroke. I saw that, I'm like, this is not a person you bring to camp. And the camp was for like 3 days. And then there was another married lady who has a son, who came with her Hindu boyfriend while her husband was working abroad. And a lot of other nonsense is happening. And when you see this, you know, this is not discipleship camp. At most, this is a camp that needs deliverance. So the leaders, like, there were 3 of us, and the main camp leader, we were all shocked. We were like, what on earth is this? And we just went through the first day of camp. We had worship. It was the driest worship in my life. It was the house of God without God present in it. God was absent. And people were singing, dancing and all of that, but we knew God is not here. And the girl goes back to taking her pills, and the guy, and the Hindu boyfriend was muscular. Okay, he was big and he was built. All of us were scared to go. And my thing is, let's call the cops. But that night we gathered in camp and we said, you know, for me it was shocking that God does not come and dwell with his people. When we met together for that purpose. And I said, this is not what we are standing for. This doesn't make sense. And the leader said, I'm going to go to my room and pray. I can't sleep. And I said, I can't sleep. So the 3 of the co-leaders, we decided to just pray. Because we were irritated, not at the people. We were irritated mostly because God didn't show up. And we decided to pray. We prayed from 9:30. We pressed on. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, nothing has happened. The 4th hour, we felt the presence of God break. 2nd that broke out, we started worshipping. And at 4 a.m., we went to sleep. And we woke up at 6. The next day, morning session, the girl who has to take 6-7 pills, during worship she takes her pills and she throws it. And when that happens, I'm like, someone call 1066. Something's gonna happen. She throws it, worship goes, then she has lunch, she doesn't faint. She's been supernaturally healed. And that evening when we worship, God showed up powerfully and saved the Hindu boyfriend. To a point that he went to the girl saying, what we're doing is wrong. And I've given my life to Jesus. And she's like, huh? And we saw that and we were trying to get the guy out. But God's intention was, no, he's part of my kingdom. And then he comes to us and he's like, disciple me. I want to learn about the spiritual things. I want to know about the Holy Spirit. I want to know about the Spirit of God. And we were like, whoa. All because we decided to wake up from our sleep and contend for the things of God. One night made a difference in many of those people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
And it was interesting because when we were praying that night, there was a dorm nearby. We didn't know this. The second that we felt the presence of God coming, they said their rooms shook. And their windows shook. They could feel the entire room shaking. And we were like, wow, We saw the power of God invade like crazy. And I learned that, in that moment I learned, you know, what differentiates a person who walks in the presence of God and not, is that he's not lazy. And he stirs himself awake and contends for the things of God. And he does not accept the circumstance that you can have a house of God without God not being present in it. Amen?
Amen.
We have to ask ourselves, what is the standard that we're going to have? And before that, what is his standard? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, let's be awake to the things of God. Now, how many of you remember the story where Jesus calmed the storm? Yes? Can someone read Matthew 4, verse 39? Just go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 38. Can someone read that quick? Mark 4:38, sorry.
But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that you are perishing?
Say this after me. Jesus was asleep on a pillow.
Jesus was asleep on a pillow.
The second incident in the Bible where you hear about someone sleeping on a pillow. Right? And then they woke him up saying, do you not care that we are dying? There's a storm here. And then what did Jesus do? He rose up again and he rebuked the storm saying, peace, be still. Now I've always wondered, how does Jesus have this kind of an access to supernatural power? Let's move to Luke 8. Luke 8 verse 23. Now the word there, right, Luke 8 verse 23, it says the word, he fell asleep. It's very interesting to know that the Greek word there is the word aphypno. It's two words. It's ap and the second word is hypno. Hypno is the word where we get the word hypnotized. So the Greek rendering of that meaning, of that word, where it says, and they came and Jesus was asleep, it says, to properly become awake. That is spiritual. In other terms, the word asleep there, Jesus was actually having a trance. He was having a spiritual vision and enjoying, and he was relaxing on a boat while there's a storm. Now, how many of you know what Jesus sees? What does Jesus see? John 5 verse 19.
Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.
So Jesus was having a trance and he was seeing the Father. And what was he seeing in the trance? He was enjoying visions of his Father, knowing that his Father is the guy who controls the storm. Amen? So when he woke up, he said, peace, peace, still. Now the second thing I want to tell you is, Jesus saw the Father. Say this, Jesus saw the Father. He did not hear the Father. So many of us have an emphasis on hearing the voice of God. I want to propose there's a greater reality. Seeing Him. That's the reality Jesus walked in. You want to do the works of Jesus? You have other senses apart from your ear. Amen?
Amen.
May we grow in our ability to perceive Him and how He can show Himself to us. He doesn't just need to be a still voice. His audible voice can also speak to you. He doesn't just have to speak to you through the Bible. The words of the Bible can come to you in a vision as well. Amen?
Amen.
He is a God who loves to show up in experience with us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here the disciples tell Jesus, "You are sleeping and we are dying. Do you not care for us?" I'm ending with Matthew 26. Verse 36 onwards.
Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping.
Verse 40. How did he find them?
Sleeping.
Sleeping. And what did Jesus tell them?
He said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?"
Next verse.
"Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Next verse.
"Again a second time he went away and prayed, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done.' Then he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy."
It's interesting that when the disciples think that they're about to die, they're like, "Jesus, don't you care about us? And you're sleeping." But it's interesting, when Jesus is about to face his death, he's asking his disciples, "Will you stay awake and watch and pray with me?" And they end up sleeping. And ironically, Jesus didn't want them to pray for him. He wanted to pray, them to pray for themselves, that they would not enter into temptation. It's crazy that even in his death, he's concerned about other people. He's like, "No, my ministry I can take care of. Your ministry, stay and watch that you may not enter in temptation." And I love Jesus for this, because he's never condemning. He's never condemning. Verse 43, can you read from there, Auntie?
"And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners.'"
So verse 35, my version says, Jesus told them, "Sleep on now and take rest." Isn't that amazing? The time when he's expecting his disciples to wake up, he's telling them again, "Will you wake up? Are you asleep?" And then in the end, he just says, "Okay, sleep, take your rest." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The time of sleeping is not now." Literally, because you're in church. And also because it's time to wake up. Because I feel like this word is very prevalent in the church.
Yeah.
And I feel like God's asking us to wake up, not to something new, but the reality that he's present here and you're not realizing it. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
May we stand and pray. You want to do an offering song? Sure. We'll just say a prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are God with us. And I just pray over your church. Can we just lift up our hands? Lord, I pray that the grace of your presence and the grace that you are present with us, that Jesus is our Bethel. I pray that that would be a reality, and I declare the grace of that encounter, the grace of encountering the presence of God. in a daily basis, to a point that we are awakened to the fact that you are standing right before us. We thank you that you're not absent. We thank you that you're not asleep. We thank you that you're at work. I pray that that grace would be released over your church.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that the presence of God, that grace to be released now.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for fresh grace to be released over your church.
Yes, Lord.
Over even the children, over everyone right now.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that that grace would invade their house.
Yes, Lord.
Would invade their quiet lives.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, Father, that you would invade them.
Yes,
invade their healing times.
Yes,
invade them.
Yes, Lord.
May they grow in their perception that you are interested in the specifics.
Yes, Lord.
Interested in every little thing.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you that they are not in a rut.
Yes.
Lord, I just declare, oh Father, every discouragement, every deception that they're in a rut, be gone.
Yes.
And I declare heavens open.
Amen.
The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Amen.
And I declare that you are our Bethel.
Amen.
You are our dwelling place.
Yes.
You are, this is your house.
Yes.
We are your dwelling place.
Yes.
May we grow in the spirit and in the spiritual things of your presence.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Can I just ask?
Sure.
Actually, Lily's not well. She's had a very tough week.
Okay.
While the flu. Radhika did not hear that. And she sent me a text saying she's not well. Can you pray for her? How's Brother Jana? So he's also not well. Can you just
sure.
pray for
Can me? Someone lay your hands on Lily? Auntie, can you go? Can we stretch our hands towards her? Can we pray together as a church, please? Father, we just declare in the name of Jesus. Tell, go on. You also go. Everyone just stretch your hands towards her. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus, the presence of God that brings liberation, that brings liberty. Father, we declare, oh Father, that she is a daughter of Zion. We declare that every captivity in her life is broken right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare a breakthrough of her body, a breakthrough of her soul. Father, we thank you that instead of, we thank you for the fact that you have anointed her with an oil of gladness. I pray for gladness to be her portion. Lord, I pray instead of heaviness, I pray for praise to break forth in our family. Instead of sorrow, I pray for the oil of gladness. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare the beauty of the Lord over her. I declare the power of God over her. Lord, I declare that she will not see ashes, but she will see the beauty of the Lord in the land of the living. And I declare your strength, your grace, and your power to be released upon her. Father, even now we remember Radhika Auntie, and we just declare her covered under the blood of Jesus. Lord, we declare even over the house is a territory governed by God. We declare the blood of Jesus covers their entire house. Lord, we declare no witchcraft, we declare no territorial weapon of the enemy. None of that can have a hold in their lives. We declare the blood of Jesus is their covenant. The blood of Jesus speaks of the greater covenant that is in charge of their lives. And we declare liberty over her body. We declare breakthroughs. And Father, we just declare upon their family, the season of breakthroughs is at hand, O Father. And Lord, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you will take them wherever you want to take them.
Yes, Lord.
Not just India, wherever you want to take them.
Yes,
I thank you that this is not the end.
Amen.
I thank you for Radhika Auntie and John Uncle. This place, Padapai, is not the end.
Yes.
I thank you that they have a glorious future.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray to the place that you have for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're a specific God. You have specifics in place for them.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that they would propel. We pray that you would bless them, and I declare that they have a glorious future.
Yes.
Fully content and glorious future. And I pray for the joy of the Lord to overtake the house. I thank you that this is a season of preparation in the house.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We bless them, Father. And Father, we just pray for everyone over here. We pray for what happened to him? Okay. Father, we pray for Jana uncle as well. We just cover him under your precious blood. And Father, we just cover this entire family under your precious blood, Father. Lord, we just declare, oh Father, you are the God who blesses them. I pray over Jonanka and his wife that they would have an outpouring of joy in their lives. I pray, Father, that the seasons ahead will be filled with laughter.
Yeah.
I declare, Lord, we just declare that we hear the resounding sounds of laughter and a celebration in their houses, oh Father. And Father, we just bless their house. We bless their health. And Lord, we just pray even over her womb, we just cover it under the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And we declare generations has no hold on her.
Yes.
It's your blood that has hold on her.
Yes.
We bless her and we declare that their lives is fruitful.
Yes.
We declare her womb is fruitful.
Yes.
And we declare his ministry is fruitful.
Yes.
We pray for divine assignments and divine connections. And we pray for supernatural health over his life to be released.
Yes.
May he awaken to the reality that you are God present.
Yes.
In the realm of the spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Yeah. I'm praying the night prayer. Specifically, there's a word, there's a picture of people sleeping, lying down, and we prayed and prayed and prayed that they will rise up. Right, Buddha?
Okay.
Yeah. So this is God's word. Thank you. The two things he said, one is rise up, awake. Another one he said is the house of God. Harvest in homes.
That's what we talked about.
So that is harvest in homes, that's the vision of the church. So thank you, Lord. Thank God for the thank God for the word. So now it's offertory time. Let's take our offerings and give to the Lord the gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Blessing would be abundant. Restoration, reward, renewal. Thank you, Lord. Every one of you, Lord. In every home. Thank you. And Lord, we want to thank you, Master, for Minu's mother as she travels. She's going back to Orissa tomorrow. We pray and bless her, Father, in Jesus' name. Safe journey. I pray that you will sustain her. Good health, Father. When they go back, restore the home. Restore
Lord,
everything that was ravaged by the storm. Be restored. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and the honor. We thank you for today. Thank you for the service. Thank you for the ministry of the word. Thank you for Holy Spirit. You minister to us. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We want to live for you. We pray that you will send us with your complete blessing. In Jesus' name. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep us all awake till the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Please join us for the coffee fellowship.